In your packet, you had it out. It's already been changed.
Oh, good.
When I received the survey from Rio Verde, I thought, man, there's a flat spot out there. And that's where I put it originally. And you realize that flat spot's in a hole. And I knew Tom would hear that. Have a heyday with me.
Rightfully so.
So we moved it back to where we originally had it. This map is correct. And okay. I've got the contours on. I've got Billy reviewing it. And they're rough right now, but that's the catch points. Mm-hmm. So this is all the disturbed area that we're going to have to get that mm-hmm. site in there with very little cut and fill. I don't have the numbers. It'll balance. If you look at where I've got that building set, the floor elevation, I'm targeting 7265, which that contour goes through the middle of the building. Okay. And 3-1 slopes coming out of there will get us to where we can daylight and not even disturb Billy's existing road. Like I say, once I just threw that together, literally Monday. So
this may not be the final, but
it's probably not the final, but it's definitely Billy and I rebuilding half of it because he understands dirt quite well.
And to the east of this, that maintains that drainage.
Yes, and part of the thought process, we've got a great big draw that's coming, to the south of the road. Mm-hmm. We're going to have floor drains, a grease trap, that kind of stuff inside this building. And I believe DEQ will allow us to, once we run through that grease trap, we can daylight all that interior floor drainage, just daylight it, not even have to worry about going through our septic, through our leach field. This site, the other thing I want to look at is we'll put that well over next to the power, next to the fence, next to the power. Mm-hmm. Pretty close proximity of the building, and then have the leach field off to the east down into that natural swell.
So my preliminary thought is, do you want the leach field in a swell so it don't floods out with natural water and fails?
I think the depth of it, I think we're going to be fine. I mean, we talk
some of that depends on the
If you follow we'll be about 62 out there in that swell where our finished floor is.
From your geotech, what was your perk, roughly?
And that's
a pretty high perk, isn't it?
It is. And that's the other reason why the north side of the road, you get down on the south side of the existing road going in there, and there's a lot more silty, sandy, loam type material. It's a lot rockier up on the north side. It's preliminary, but I don't think it's going to move a heck of a lot from where it's at.
Okay.
What I did do, so that you understand, we've got 2%, 2-4% going away from the building mm-hmm. on our concrete pad. If you look at the north side of the building and to the west side of the building, I've got a valley pan in. Mm-hmm. 20 and 40 feet off the building. So we're sloping away, and then we're sloping the asphalt outside of the concrete. We'll slope up at 2%, 2-3% to help catch the natural grades that we've got out there. And everything flows to the southeast from there.
I think my further question is, Shad, Billy's just seen. On track for this thought?
Yeah, I like where the Murtaugh's placed it. I think that's about the only best spot for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that location he's got drawn out there, you know, as far as the entire 40-acre lot, this is what makes the most sense for access to and from the road and minimizes the amount of dirt work necessary to have a good solid structural foundation for the building.
Yeah, basically the other site that I sent you, our footings all would have been on native, but our own floor and everything, and the fire stations that Shad and I would have looked at, Daniel Fire Station's not going to have that flooring. Every one of them was just spiderwebbed, the concrete floors in them. And so that's what I'm really trying to avoid, is a very, very minimal fill. So, also on the Daniel Fire Station, Shad and I received a, when we went up there to Lander and Riverton, we met with Mark, who does a lot of the fire station designs in that area that Shad really likes. And he sent us a quote the other day, and I'll be honest, I would jump up and down and sideways to accept this quote.
So this is a quote from, is it Centered?
St. Art.
Proposal for design and specifications for a new fire and county building in Daniel.
Yeah, and Mark Sater is the one that's built all the fire stations in Fremont County. That you remember when we originally started talking about the Daniel Fire Station, I was just looking to copy the template that they've done. And so this is the, what's his title?
Building designer. He actually owns it. I mean, he not only designs them, he actually supplies them as well. But he knows that it's going to go out for bid, so I think he will be one of the ones that bids the work as well.
Would you refer to Todd on that?
And I did not print out the. He actually sent us a kind of a floor plan, but we've updated it a little bit, so he's got some modifications, just kind of a quick and dirty one. So what he'll do is he'll supply all the load ratings and everything on the building. We'll have to get a footing design to go with it. I've talked to, I can't remember his name, in planning.
Oh, Todd Forsberg.
As far as septic design, we'll run some perk tests for him, and we'll just have him do that in house. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of piecemealing this together, and it's coming together to where I know you guys typically see about 20% between design and construction management on these projects. We're looking at saving a pretty good chunk of change the way that we're approaching this. I mean, this guy's probably 2.5% of the cost of this building for the design, and the footings will probably be another $5,000-$6,000.
What is CAD Services?
CAD, AutoCAD. So they'll draft everything. What he's going to supply us, he's going to give us the technical specs. I can put a boilerplate together that has all the bid documents with it, the bid form, measurement payment, that kind of stuff, general conditions, the meat, and put his technical specs in the boilerplate or in the normal specifications. Like I say, I thought it was a very, very good price for what he's offering.
Excuse me.
So what you're asking for us is to accept this proposal for design and specifications, correct?
That will eventually lead us to the point where we're ready to go to bid for the contractors, is my understanding. So this is the preliminary step to get everything ready to go to bid for the general contractor.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, do we have yet an engineer's estimate on the cost of the building?
We haven't. We've got We've got to go through with the floor plan, make sure that everybody's comfortable with the floor plan and the site, so that we know what the grading is going to cost, the concrete, that kind of stuff before. I don't want to throw a number out there and get caught low. I don't like low bid anymore.
Do you have a square feet in mind of what
we do? I mean, but this building's roughly 80 by 160. 77 by 160 to be exact. But it's got the mezzanine.
Is this open for discussion now?
Is the bid, the fire hall, what?
Yeah,
sure.
Yes. But it's, the floor is open?
To you it is.
I've got to stand up and rest my feet. So this fire hall, when it came to be, I took it upon myself because I do live in Daniel. And I visited with a few folks around, a couple, actually three, that were volunteer firemen in years past. And the question that they asked me to a person was, why? Why? We have got six fire halls in Southern County, every one of them pretty darn nice, including the Daniel one that's there now. I don't know how many folks have had the opportunity to open the door and walk through it. I have. There's four pretty darn nice vehicles sitting in there. Nice little room in the back for whomever needs to go in there and have a discussion. But one of the big issues out there is, why are we trying to cover Sublette County with more roofs? Because the one that stands out in everybody's mind is the one at the fairgrounds, and now we're going to have one at Daniel, probably. We've got an economy we're not sure about. We're looking at a facility, in my mind at least, that's going to be in the $3-6 million range, who knows. We've got some issues probably with DEQ. We're going to have wash racks in it. They're going to want to collect that stuff in a container. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And so, in my mind, the Daniel Fire Hall has access to the main artery right there. If you get a big blizzard and or a snowstorm and need one of those trucks out, you're right there. If you're up there, you're going to have to call Billy once in a while to come plow you out. Or he's going to have to do it on a 24/7 service. So in my mind, at least, this is a want. It's not a need. And I think we've come to the point in this county where we really need to assess what our needs are. And I don't think building a megatropolis fire hall is one of our needs. I think it's a want. So, and I cannot support the project as it is.
Well, we haven't given Chad the opportunity to respond in terms of some of the thinking behind why we're moving or what are anticipated moving in this direction more than just having a building. So, Chad, if you'd like to speak. If not, I know we talked about the safety concern, the lowering of insurance rates for people within the county. There were a number of things in the past that commissioners have been talking about this, I think, at least for 2 years that I've been on the board. Joe might have some added information, but if you would like to give us a response, that would be good. If not, we'll just leave it as it is.
I would appreciate the opportunity to say just a few words. I'll be brief. As you mentioned, though, we have been having this ongoing discussion for at least the last 3 or 4 years, or 3 years, I think would be an accurate estimate. We brought up many times, I've provided the data and the support of documenting the need for providing public fire protection in Sublette County. Part of my job that I've been appointed by the commission to provide is to ensure we do provide public protection. In order to do that, I've got to have trained firefighters that are ready to jump into maintained equipment that we can trust and rely to start, and that equipment needs to be housed somewhere. That's the definition of our need for a fire station. In order to provide that, my job is to forecast not only today's need, but the need in the future. The building that Daniel's currently in was built in the early 80s. The building was built for a very small organization, the Daniel Fire Department. We have since unified. We've become Sublette County Unified Fire. It's a significantly larger organization that has very, very complex needs. My intent is to address the needs of Sublette County and provide the highest level of public protection possible. In order to do that, my goal is to make sure that I've got trained, capable firefighters, well-maintained tools and equipment and apparatus, housed in appropriate fire stations to take care of the investment that the board has provided to ensure that public protection. So that's the basic premise. The question that you raised on the adequacy of the existing station in Daniel, the building was built too small to begin with. It doesn't have capacity for the increased need of apparatus. Right now, we've used up every square inch of available space in that station. It's literally inches. There's firefighters that are telling the people when they back in, you've got another inch to go, and that's the only way we can make the trucks fit in the existing station. There's no opportunity to walk between the trucks because they're so close together. There's a significant safety concern for getting the trucks in and out of the station. The station has not been well maintained over the years. It hasn't had the level of support and maintenance and oversight that was necessary. We've had issues trying to keep up with the existing station. My intent was to build a fire station that was capable of housing the necessary fire apparatus, and the goal that you just mentioned earlier is my bar that I measure our capacity to provide public service for is based on ISO, the Insurance Services Organization, and the NFPA standards. I've used both of those bars to establish a minimum level of service that the public should rightfully expect from the fire department. In order to achieve that bar, one of the weak points in the entire organization is our inability to provide water supply when we have a structure fire. So that's the driving factor that really identifies Daniel as being the critical, centrally located, strategic location to provide housing to keep the apparatus in. In order to get the water supply, I've got to have a station in the center of the county that's capable of housing that tender, the water supply necessary. So the first step is to build a station. Then next, I will increase the water capacity or our ability to respond to a structure fire and carry the water with us on our back, basically, to these rural structure fires that we have in the county. So right now, the existing Daniel station is absolutely inadequate to the task to provide the housing necessary for the apparatus that we need to provide public fire protection. So we did critically look at the cost versus benefit of trying to build or redesign or retrograde the existing fire station. The problem is it's just on too small of a lot. There's no opportunity to expand or make additional room necessary to meet the needs of the organization. So then we looked at multiple different locations that were centrally located in the Daniel area that would provide the biggest bang for the buck, and in other words, provide the most protection and reduction of insurance ratings for the people in the Daniel community, and we tried to keep it within the envelope of the junction of 191 and 189. And based on that, we narrowed it down from, I think we started at six or seven choices, narrowed it down to three choices, narrowed it down to two choices, and we finally landed on the most economical way to move forward and build a station is on the property already owned by the county, the 40 acres that Roden Bridge has been using as their landfill. And so,
along with Shad's comment about water supply, with this design, there will be a cistern that houses water that they can fill their trucks out of, that'll fill from the well that's being drilled. That's something that I never discussed. I mean, there's a lot of clarifications. The other side of that is this building shared with the County Roden Bridge?
Mr. Chairman?
It's not just a fire station.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I can tell you this. I was in that fire station yesterday, And I've got a pretty big belly. I walk through and behind every one of those vehicles. So that part doesn't hold water for me. As far as having water supply, and I understand the reasoning behind water supply, I think if you look at putting in more dry hydrants in the appropriate places, if in fact you can coordinate with Road and Bridge, because they've got several water trucks that could be parked in the evening wherever they need to be at your disposal if you need them, that would be a heck of a lot less expensive than who knows what this is going to cost. It's going to cost a lot. And I just, you know, I just have an issue with spending money when I know that this economy that we're in right now is flat. And I don't see spending, here again, what's the number? Todd didn't come up with a number. There must be a number out there that's going to have a significant seven-figure digit in it. And I just don't see spending that kind of money on, here again, what I call a want, not a need. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Bilesman, comments?
The only thing I think of is, I know this has been talked about before Chad was here, about at some point we've outgrown the Daniel Fire Hall. I'm no fireman. I just know what I've been told over for years and years that there's going to, then I believe with the fire departments all around the county, as I remember, this was identified as their number one priority for, is that true, Chad?
It's strategically located right in the center of the county, and the importance of that is no matter what direction we have an incident anywhere else in the county, the station in Daniel is able to provide support and additional resources, manpower, and apparatus to go any direction in the county from there and provide support.
And I do remember the discussion on if we have that available water and increased ability to respond, how it would lower the fire charge rates for the people who lived within that area. So that's something that, the way the insurance industry looks at it.
I feel like that should be a secondary consideration. The primary goal should be to provide public fire protection. If insurance reductions occur as a result of that, that's fine. I'm willing to take some ability to celebrate that accomplishment. But the goal is to provide public protection, and that's what's driving my request to the board. Many years of requesting.
Mr. Chairman, can I address Commissioner Vickery? As you can see, that there's blueprints, there's discussion that's been going on before we ever came on as county commissioners. So it's coming now to the time that a decision is going to have to be made. Do we move forward? But the studies have all been done. The from the professionals, what the request is. So when you say, is it a want or is it a need? When I listen to the professionals, I got to go with a need, because this is what they've come up with.
So the diagram, excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So the diagram of this. Facility, in my mind at least, and I can't read all the fine print, my glasses aren't powerful enough. This looks to me like a place where you could do whatever you'd want to do. It's just not a fire hall. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. Is this what this is that I have?
I think the question we have at hand right now is whether we want to extend a contract on this proposal to, tell me again, Saner Systems on developing us the design and specification, after which we can review some of that.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, if we're going to go forward with it, then I understand the need for this, however you pronounce that person's name. But if we're not, why are we going to spend $20,000 to get something that we don't need?
Well, I suppose we could call for a motion, have a vote, and then we would have an indication on which way we're going. So if that's what you want, I will entertain a motion to accept this proposal to move forward with the design and specification.
So moved.
Okay. All right, I have a motion and a second. Now, is there any other discussion?
No, I've discussed all. I'm disgusted all. I can't.
Mr. Chairman, could I share something with Commissioner Bickman?
If we don't keep this in order, I'm going to call for order. There's a procedure that we are to follow here. We have a motion and a second. If you have discussion pertinent to that, I will consider it. And then I will remind the board that the function of this board is to accept the decision of the majority and move on. And that's why we call for a vote.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to the amount of money?
Yes.
It's in the budget. Yes. I believe we put this money in the budget to pay for this fire hall. It's not coming out of next year's budget. It's in this year's budget.
There is money in the fire building reserve to cover this item because this is something that the commissioners have been discussing, as Commissioner Bousman said, for at least 3 years now. I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, one quick question for our engineer here. We're looking at a little under 13,000 square feet. Based on these stations that have been built in Fremont County, surely we have a ballpark number. Are we looking at $20 million or $1 million?
Well, it won't be 20.
Oh, I know that. I'm giving extremes, but we've got some idea, surely, of what this is going to be based on our experience elsewhere.
That's for this one.
I'm unprepared to publicly disclose what I know is an inaccurate estimate. We had a conversation with Sainert, who built the fire stations in Fremont County. He can tell me what they built them for in Fremont County, but as we know, the cost of building in Sublet County will not be the same as what is in Fremont County. So if you're asking me the question is how much it would cost to build in Fremont County, I can answer that question.
That would be helpful to me.
All right, so I've got an email from Mark Sainert that says $1.8 million. And we budgeted for $3 million. And that was approved by the board at the last budget session for a total of $3 million to prepare to build this fire station.
That's helpful, thank you.
Let me just reiterate, there is $3 million in a reserve fund for fire. This contract amount is $20,640, which I understand we are putting out to look at a design for this building. I can also say in my mind, we just saved $20,000 by prepaying on your fire apparatus. So, any other comment? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, David. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, next on our agenda, well, it depends which order we want to go. We have our treasurer that has presented us for our approval three surety bonds, one for Valerie Williams, one for Valerie Williams, the Big Piney Cemetery District, in the amount of $2,000. The second one is for Anna Bloxham with the Upper Green River Cemetery District in the amount of $1,000. And the last one is for Robert Barrett with the Sublet County Recreation Board in the amount of $5,000. If I could have a motion to approve these surety bonds.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. And I will pass it down for your signature.
I think it's just two. There's two. Oh, there's the third one.
I'll pass
okay.
Two one way and one direct for the sake of brevity. The next item on our agenda is the accounts payable, which have been audited by both the clerk and the board. If I could have a motion to accept and approve the accounts payable.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Terry, you got that? Moved by Commissioner Miller. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I had one, and it was on the amount of propane being spent at the fire hall in Sandra was over $1,000. And my question is that a month?
Is that what?
Is it a month? Or is it? Did it just show up because they went and refilled the tank? Because it wasn't in the, when I went through those, it just seemed like a lot of money. But maybe it's for 6 months, maybe it's for a year. That I don't know.
You would need to ask Andre about that.
Okay, I'll talk to Andre.
And I would imagine that's a fill in the tank. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because just, we don't get it
we
monthly.
Don't, yeah.
We don't get it monthly.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I will check.
I think it just seemed propane bottle outside.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It keeps it from freezing up and everything.
Mr. Like Chairman, I have a question. I noticed, Kerry, in all the bills we have, each department that uses fuel has their bill for Kellerstrass.
Mm-hmm.
Now they deliver to Road and Bridge. Is that, can you explain how that's apportioned out the way it is to the different departments?
I believe they have cards, and Road and Bridge is the one that allocates that.
Okay.
So they divide up the bill and they put it in a spreadsheet, and that's how we enter it in YCAS.
Okay, that's what I thought mm-hmm. would have to occur because
right.
Road and Bridge is our central location for
right.
fuel.
Right.
So when law enforcement gases up a car, for example, whatever they do when they enter into the thing to get their gas, then that tells Road and Bridge to prorate that to
yes.
detention or mm-hmm. law enforcement or whatever.
Mm-hmm. They put it in a spreadsheet and tape it to the front of the invoice, and then we know. Well, Alicia enters them now, but that they get entered to the appropriate lineup.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought needed to happen, but I don't know that I ever really had that straight.
Mr. Chairman, I can elaborate on that a little.
Commissioner,
each employee has a key card with their employee number, and that fuel is then accounted to that employee, which then goes to that department that he's employed under.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion
and a second to approve the payables for Pennsylvania's in the amount of $1,066,895.98. If I could have.
There were some additions.
Additional ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, did I give you that? Nope.
No.
I don't think so.
I did. So.
The vouchers that they handed you, I didn't see.
Right here. These are the ones that came in after the deadline. Just some incidental ones.
So the total amount is $1,081,416.73.
Does that include the ones we sent in this morning for reimbursement?
No.
So what do we do with that?
Those will be approved and signed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will. Okay.
We'll add them to this total.
You'll add them to this?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Understood.
So the sum total is what then?
Well, we had a few turned in personal items from two commissioners this morning. But other than that, it was $1,081,416.73.
I'm going to have these for you to sign.
They're right here, but okay. Do we need date, time, amount, or just sign?
You can put the date. Yeah. But the amount will change when I add your reimbursement right. Vouchers.
Any other questions? If not, we have a motion and a second to approve these payables. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Will be signatures there.
We got
three.
Okay.
Because there's three stacks, one goes for each stack.
One each pile.
The actual vouchers are here in a box in alphabetical order if anybody wants to look at them.
Two other pages.
Move that way and then back.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I'll be the last. I'll be the last one to give it to Carrie. Yeah.
Anyway.
I need that purchase
journal
too.
This one here. Pardon? Oh, I don't have this in mind. Oh, when not, okay.
Burnett, can I have that purchase journal too? That one that's got the total on it? That one.
Do we need to sign this?
No.
Because we signed the others.
Thank you.
before we settle? You've already signed that, Carrie.
Yep.
All right, next item on our agenda is the application for the transfer of the retail liquor license from Half Moon Lake Lodge to JCM Estates. Carrie, would you like to fill us in on this or comment?
Tracy included a little synopsis in there for you of what all has happened. And
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Question for Carrie. There's a page here about, from the Sublette County Clerk, about the following discrepancies. Have those been addressed or not addressed? I can't tell by looking at this.
Okay. Which page is that?
They came from Tracy. And following discrepancies, and it lists them. Mailing address, please provide.
Oh.
And we can't approve it until those discrepancies are addressed.
The
question is, they have been addressed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So I guess the question, Karen, this is what I was asking. The transfer application has been reviewed by the Liquor Division, and they have found the application to be complete in compliance with the state liquor laws?
Yes.
That's what we need to know.
Right, and so all this stuff went to the state. The state approved all of our questions, or Tracy's questions.
What we need to know before we can approve it, and that's the question I had. This application, the Liquor Division has found it complete and to be in compliance.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
And what we're looking at is a transfer of the liquor license with the term from today to June 30th, 2019, after which they will renew when all other licenses are due in May.
Yes.
Okay. So with that in mind.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the transfer of retail liquor license from Half Moon Lake Lodge, LLC to JCM Estates, LLC.
Second.
As presented.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Carrie, we have from Janess.
She did not submit any.
There's not anything to consider. This is just.
She likes to have a standing appointment,
right,
so she can bring things. But
so she doesn't. We don't have anything from
Janess. No, nothing came in.
Okay. All right. So moving right on along, it seems like to me we are to public comments. Is that correct? Everybody follow this? I think we've got everything done. Public comments.
If I may?
Yes, just please state your name. And
Bettina Sparrow. I live in Daniel, and a little bit of lightheartedness here. I want to hand out daffodil order forms for the Garden Club in Pinedale, so take one and pass it on if you wish. Selling daffodils to fund Kickin' Cancer for Kickin' Cancer this year, and they'll come into Ridley's farm markets, so we're keeping it all very local. That's the first order of business from me, and hopefully they can be picked up in Daniel. And the deadline is April the 3rd, but they can be picked up on April the 12th. In Pinedale at Rendezvous Point, or they will be delivered to whatever address you want them to in Pinedale. They will also be delivered here to the Marbleton Town Hall on the same day, so the folks down here can run the same program. So
good.
Something I wanted to give you as an aside. The main reason I'm here today is my husband Raleigh and I went to the Healthcare District Board meeting last week, and I noticed one of you were there. I don't know how many of the rest of you were there, but we're very concerned about healthcare in Sublette County. And I know that as the commissioners, you have all of our needs and you look out for all of us, Sublette County people's needs and wants and wishes. We've seen seen some personnel that have left. We hear that others are leaving. And of course, Dr. Kaplan submitted his resignation at the time, but you all know this. We just felt we needed to be here and let you know that we are very concerned. And if there's anything that you all can do to partner with the healthcare board, we would really appreciate it. They seem to be struggling a little bit, I feel that they, from my reading and looking at statutes and so forth, they are an entity separate from the commissioners. There is no governance level there. But there can be a partnering, I know. And it seems like they're floundering and they're really searching for ways to move forward. Even within the board, you could see there was a little bit of tension as far as setting priorities. There was a call for what is the priority of the critical access hospital, for example, and they wouldn't really give a clear answer to that. So that's why I'm here. I know there are other people that are in the same boat, and we kind of don't know what to do, but we are going to start speaking more to or with the board members. That also has not been done very well from our perspective, and it's a two-sided thing. You know, we need to go to them as well as they need to come to us. But they said, you know, come to us whenever you want to, and we are going to start doing that. So we're also very supportive of Critical Access Hospital, and if there's any funding that can't set it aside for something that's a plan, a wish, whatever, but I would hope it would be a priority for the commission when it comes to that. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your comments. Thank you for coming. Anybody?
Any just comments? Keep discussing with the board.
Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna do more of that.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will have our ears open.
I'm very glad to see a commission member there.
There were three of us there.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? If not, we will move to our commissioner's reports, monthly reports. We have Commissioner Ryhauser.
I had a meeting. Commissioner Noble was with me on the LaBarge fence, the deer fence, and with Sarah Ellis and Keith Compton from YDOT, John Lund from the Wyoming Game and Fish, and with the help of some of our more eloquent commissioners, we're going to put together a letter to the heads of YDOT and to the Game and Fish, and then go on to our people in Washington, our representatives in Washington, to try to get money from what's called a build grant to maybe get some federal money to get this project done. The engineering, everything is complete. And everybody knows it needs to be done. And with the migration corridors being the top subject in it, maybe behind rural health care in Sublet County, it's something that everybody's on the same page. So hopefully we can get things going.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just for the audience, Mac might elaborate on what project he's referring to.
Well, there's a deer fence that goes from all the way from Pinedale into, from Daniel all the way into Pinedale. Well, they kill over 300 deer a year between Big Piney and LaBarge. And that's it, the underpasses and that fence. And also on Cumberland Flats, which is in, of course, Lincoln County. But we're concerned about the fence between Big Piney and LaBarge right now. So hopefully we can get that done and be a partner in the solution to this. I will let you talk about our trip to Casper, or unless you want me to.
Go right ahead.
We went to Casper to speak before the board, the Wyoming Business Council, in support of Enviromedial in Pinedale, and got a unanimous vote of a little over $1 million for this group for their new business in Pinedale, and it was a very successful 2 days in Casper, and these people are moving forward and are going to bring many jobs into Sublette County to work there with their project. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's where I was.
Thank you. Mr. Bowsman. Spent all week in D.C. At the NACO Legislative Conference. I did do a written report. I sent it to all the commissioners. I sent it to Holly last night. She'll do whatever she wants to do with it, including Don Ballou. Try and get the public informed a little bit about new opportunities we have on with the Department of Interior and USDA to be more involved in many ways in federal lands management. The governor had requested that we put together a meeting of probably six commissioners with the governor to discuss with his departments how the state and the counties can work together, for example, to embark on forest management practices using good neighbor authority or stewardship, master stewardship agreements. Also to discuss how we can move forward with the state's help and counties actually doing some NEPA on projects with Interior, with BLM. And we have a lot of options. It'll take some time to get things put together, but I anticipate we're going to have some opportunity to help the federal agencies get their work done sooner rather than later. But that's one of the goals. Cut down the amount of time that it takes to do the NEPA, whether it's an EA or an EIS or whatever it might be. And then with the Forest Service of actually hopefully getting some grant money to embark on some actual forest management projects that would benefit the economy, would create some jobs, cut down the risk to our fire, like Hoback Ranches, for example, cut down the risk for the wildland fire to our communities and actually start doing something positive on the ground. And I've got anybody's welcome that wants I've got an extra copy here that I think Carrie brought, if anybody wants it. But that's all I have. When do you think you'll be selecting the six commissioners and moving forward with that?
The governor already told me five of them.
Okay.
And I gave you the opportunity. Which one are you?
Yeah.
Okay. He made the suggestion.
Yeah.
Just because he's working with counties all over the state. So I pretty much know who they are. Bailey Schreiber, our natural resource attorney, is working with Randy McKay to find it. It's kind of difficult finding a time when the governor has like 2 hours,
right,
which is a significant amount of his day, to sit down with a group of counties and plus bring in state forestry and Department of Ag, DEQ, Game and Fish, that would all need to be involved in this.
Are you at liberty to say which five counties are involved right now? Is that waiting on the governor's final decision?
For the most part, it'll be represented around the state.
Yeah.
So Carbon County, Sublette County, Lincoln County, Bighorn County, Johnson County, maybe Washtenaw County, we don't know for sure yet. Part of it'll depend on if they want to commit to going there or not.
Right.
But I have committed to the governor that I will be there because I've kind of led the effort to put this together in the first place. And he seems appreciative of that and very supportive, by the way.
And so Washington seems to be still supportive of our PILT and SRS?
Yes. We had what NACO referred to, they thought was a very successful press conference. There is a bill introduced. It was introduced last session, then will be reintroduced, that would create a trust fund for SRS. So the interest would be obligated to fund SRS payments to counties and until such time as active forest management
would return 25% of a project revenue would go back to the county the way it used to be before we ever had SRS. Then along came the spotted owl and destroyed the timber industry in the Northwest. And then that's when they created SRS. But they're looking to get back to using revenue from active management as a means to help support that payment to counties. So that was good. I did attend a meeting of congressional staff where we discussed possible ways of permanently and mandatory funding of PILT, but I made some suggestions that they promised they would consider and think about and discuss with their bosses, with the senators and representatives. One could be a percentage of the LWCF, the Land and Water Trust Fund. One could be a percentage of the existing tax on sporting equipment, which that was the intent of that, was to help fund services that are required as a result of public land use. Another possibility would be, about 4 years ago, the federal government, it used to be a 50-50 split of federal mineral royalties, 50% to the feds, 50% to the state. Then the feds started deducting an additional 2% from that they kept, that was referred to as the cost of administration. And I asked them to consider, even if they wanted to call it a pilot project in Wyoming, that would use a portion of that 2% to help fund, put together a grant process, hopefully in the state of Wyoming, that the counties and the state could use as a source of funding for NEPA projects, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things being talked about, a lot of things out there. Whether it will materialize, don't know.
Okay.
Time will tell.
Thank you. And then you are scheduled, I guess, April, first part of April, go for two SLIB for this.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be at the SLIB meeting in April for the environmental grant project.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it?
That's it for me.
That's it.
Thank you.
If I could get them to schedule that SLIB meeting on the same day as this meeting with the governor.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, be of my best
interest. Two for one. Yeah, being our best
one trip instead of two to Cheyenne.
Yeah. Commissioner Noble.
Attended the meeting with Mac, which Mac covered for the most part with Keith and Sarah from the Highway Department. We discussed the broadband project briefly with them also. They've already met our needs there as far as helping us move on to the grants. The Joanne conference call, Joanne's update with CTC is she's moving forward with conversations with All West. This time we should know a lot more at the end of next week. Something else. Oh, the work group also got together for the broadband group and had discussions on engineering and helping CTC move forward with their engineering thoughts. That's it for me.
Okay, Mr. Baker.
I have stuff.
Good.
I had an opportunity to take the environmental tour. I took it with Jim Rose. He went through the whole gamut with me. Very, very impressive. I think that's a going concern for several counties. So the SLIP board obviously will be the turning point to get their funding. And would be my guess that will happen. I also attended the health care board meeting. Interesting listen, if you would. I won't expand on that. I went to the Recreation Board meeting. Very impressive the way they handled that. That's a good bunch that's working there. And that's from a commissioner's standpoint about what I get. But a personal note, if you would. A week ago at the BFW pool tournament, I got him.
So, good for you.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
I think it's been covered, what I've participated in. I went with Casper, to Casper with Commissioner Rahauser. I too attended the health care board meeting. And I think we're all in a position of waiting, looking to move forward, hoping that that board can coalesce and look at some difficult situations that they're facing with regarding health care. As of yet, we've had no request, no plans, whatever. We're watching and waiting like everybody else. But we welcome you to come back and express your concerns anytime. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there's not any other, I think we will adjourn the meeting, go to lunch, and then let these folks get back to Farndale. Okay.
I'd ask our county attorney if he has.
Oh, okay, good idea. Oh, he's sitting here all day. Yeah. Mr. Crossan.
Yes, sir.
I've just been appropriately reminded by Commissioner Bousman. We thank you for your presence here today. Do you have anything for us?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. I guess the only update I have with our office is we are considering looking at going paperless eventually. I think that will create a lot of efficiency in our office. Right now, on a busy day, filming, you'll have to carry, you know, 2 armloads of files over there. That's inefficient for our staff to actually maintain those because they have to tab them and go through the process of making these paper files. So that's my goal ultimately. There is going to be an additional cost of, you know, some laptops and a server. And we have an estimate right now that Mike Christie got from WazTech on that. But I'm going to do some further research with Sweetwater County, who is paperless, and see what, you know, costs they incur to do that and make sure that whatever I present for cause is, you know, not above what it should be. So it's really all I have. There's a good training coming up in May for our prosecutors. It's a prosecutor's boot camp. And I think it'll be free or very low cost, so it'll be very instructive. Mike Blount, again, a very good prosecutor that just retired, is going to be one of the instructors from what I understand. So get some good free training there, I think. And so, yeah, happy everything seems to be going great. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer those.
No, I don't have any questions, but I am happy to see you here. You're welcome to come to lunch with us.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Crossan?
No. No. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By Mr. Commissioner Vickery,
second.
Second. By
second.
Mr. Crossan.
Okay. So I will get you some notes.
Yeah.
And then I'll get them to Doc, and then we just.
I recognize
you guys. No, I think the big thing is the world has already done. Oh, there we go.